If you turn with us to the book of Malachi, chapter number 3. Book of Malachi, chapter number 3. I feel a closeness in our church this morning. I'm glad I'm in God's family. And I'm glad that I'm a part of the Liberty family this morning. I know in whom I believe, and I am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that glorious day. I'm glad I'm in safe keeping this morning. Malachi 3 is fixing to be many years of silence come about, and this old prophet's delivering his last messages. He's coming in off the tail end of the preaching of the Old Testament right before Christ's coming. Thank the Lord that God had prophets that preached for Him to the people. Malachi now says the word, "Behold, God says, I will send my messenger. He shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to His temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of His coming? Who shall stand when He appeareth? For He's like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He shall set as a refiner and purifier of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness." Verse number 6. "For I am the Lord." Not many of us can say this statement. I change not. Then he says, in verse number 12, "All nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? And ye've said, it is vain to serve God." You may be seated this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you for the good time together in the house of God. Thank you for what you've shown and shared with me in the walls of my heart this weekend in my study. Help me to be a blessing this morning. God, I pray if there'd be one here lost today that's not ready to meet you, I pray this would be the getting ready day. Lord, that call upon your Son to save them and wash them from their sin. Help all those on the prayer list of our church. We are a needy people. We are a needy nation, and we need you, O God. Help me this morning, for I'm a needy preacher. Use me to be a blessing. I'll be careful to honor you and thank you for everything you do, and I'll give you right of way. Spirit of God, I need you today. Help me, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I'm interested in this phrase tonight that I want this morning. I want to preach out of Malachi 3 today, where God said, "You have said it is vain to serve God." And I want to preach on this question unto you: is it vain to serve God? The word vain, it has to do that it means there's no real significance There's really no value, no importance about it. We have a group of people that is walking and talking, and they're looking around, and they said, it is vain to serve God. So I want to preach this morning out of this, and is it vain to serve God? I want to ask you this, in verse number 1, some things that God has done. What about the preaching Baptist? Verse 1, he said, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. I'm glad God sent a preaching Baptist. You say, how do you know that? God is referring to John the Baptist, the great forerunner of Christ. And he said in John 1:1, in the beginning, young people, was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are all the same God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, Jesus, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received Him, to them He gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Is it vain to serve God? What about the preaching Baptist? I want to say this morning that Baptist hadn't saved me, but I am a Baptist by what I believe in this Bible. I am a Baptist by choice. I'm a child of God by birth. And I'm going to tell you, if you're born again by the grace of God, we have a lot to thank God for this morning. Is it vain to serve God? What about the preaching Baptist? What about all the old men of God that you've seen, that God has passed through your life with their heart burning for a heavenly land? The Spirit of God would preach forth out from among them, and you went away and said, my, not what a preacher, but my, what a Savior. Can I tell you, God has been good to send us some Holy Ghost filled men of God that would preach the gospel in this lost and dying world. Is it vain to serve God? Brother Ken, can I ask you a question? Don't you get tired? Oh, I get past tired. Somebody said, why do you do what you do? Because I want to. Because one day, back over the back of this church, through that pine thicket, there was a God of heaven run His hand in my life.
saved me by His amazing grace and called me to preach the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus. I want to say it's not vain today because of the preaching of the Word of God. How my life has been bettered by a preacher. You listen to me. You may not think you need a preacher. There's a lot of people in this country has an hireling or a charlatan. But you ought to thank God if you know a Holy Ghost-filled preacher this morning, that He's stuck right in the middle of your family's life. The Bible said He chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. Oh, how we need preaching back in our country. Is it vain to serve God? I want to say here, it's not vain to serve God because of the preaching Baptist. I want to say, secondly, it's not vain to serve God. Look in verse 8. Because He said you would experience a poured blessing. I'm glad God's still pouring blessings out in this day. And you can go and get in your car this morning and you may think that you bought that. And I understand you had to apply some things. But let me tell you, at the end of the day, it's all His. Be careful not to get on the fence and crow too loud about what you're doing. Because God has given you everything you got this morning. And unto Him be all the honor and all the glory and all the praise. The preacher said, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. But oh, there are poured blessings. He said, verse 8, will a man rob God? He sure will. Yeah, you've robbed me. But you say, well, where have we robbed you? Look at your Bible. He said, in tithes and offerings. If you know exactly what you give to the Lord every year, your giving's not right. We should give God the first of our increase, which we call a tithe or 10. But then offerings go way beyond what we keep up with. And so we find you're cursed with a curse. For you've robbed me. You say, Brother Ken, this is the Old Testament. Well, what you going to do with verse number 6? For I'm the Lord and I change not. See, it's some things God just ain't going to change about. Now look what He says in verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. God thinks a lot about His house. And watch this. Prove me. Hey, young people, you got a God that will prove Himself. If you'll give unto Him out of a cheerful heart and the right kind of spirit, God will honor what you give unto Him. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. Now here's the text. If I'll not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Now, I was raised by a grandma and a grandpa. My mom and dad did earthly work in such a way that they were bound by a clock. So they would, real early, they'd drop me off right next door to Pa and Nanny Lamb's house. Pa Lamb had an old Jersey cow. I was about Parker's age, and he'd go to the barn every morning to milk. And my job, I'd have to go and get that stainless steel milk bucket and bring it, and I'd open up that old screen wire door, and I'd set that bucket on the back porch. Now, when Nanny Lamb come out, they was old school. They'd tear your hide up in just a minute and didn't care if CNN was around to look or nothing. You know what I'm talking about? And so, if she looked in that bucket and she seen that that milk line was down, she'd say, Ken, what happened to the milk? And I'd say, well, I spilt it. She'd say, oh, hon, just be careful and take a different route in the morning. That's precious. We need that. But if she said, Ken, what happened to that milk that was in the bucket? I'd say, Nanny Lamb, I poured it out.
Now that means there was an intention showed. Why, she'd have picked me up. And y'all would have heard me screaming to Georgia. What are you saying? I'm saying God don't bless us by accident. He said if you give unto Him, it'll go in the great storehouse of God. And He'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Is it vain to serve God? Could I challenge anybody here this morning out of a right spirit and heart? Is it anybody here that's not given God what He asked us to give that hadn't been blessed? No, we may not live in new houses and drive new cars and wear nice clothes, but can I ask you something? Do you have some things that God has poured on you that money cannot buy? It's not about money. But God will bless you when you put Him where He wants to be. And so He said, is it vain to serve God? Young people, this world's got a lot to offer you. I'm well aware. Matter of fact, this world's got more to offer you than it's ever offered any generation that's ever lived. But you'll never, ever outgive our God. Is it vain to serve God? What about the preaching Baptist? What about the poured blessing? Look at verse 13. Look at this prominent bad mouthing. Words. God listens to words. Your words have been stout. That's strong. Your words have been abrasive, what God said. Yet you say, well, what have we spoken so much against you, God? You've said, it's vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we've kept His ordinance and that we've walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? Now we call the proud happy. Yeah, they that work wickedness are set up. Yeah, they that tempt God are even delivered. You know, here's a group of people that's bad-mouthing the Lord. They're saying, oh, we've been to church and we've served you, and look at this crazy world living like the devil, acting like the devil. Look at what all they've got. Can I tell you that's the words of the devil? Here's a group of people, they've got to feeling sorry for themselves, and they really think that God has done them a disfavor. Why, look at them. They never go to church. Look at what they got. But would it ever dawn on you one day about what you got? The devil will never show you what you got. Just what you don't got. So there's a crowd walking around there bad-mouthing God. I don't want to be in that crowd. And let me tell you, I've learned by years of walking with the Lord, life sometimes don't seem fair. So quit trying to make God look fair in everything. God is not necessarily fair in your eyes, but God is always right. His ways are not our ways. There's been things, Brother Tim, Brother David, that I've given my whole heart to, and I've seen it go to nothing. But I'm not going to walk around blaming God about it. I'm not going to walk around and say, look how good God's been to them, but He hadn't been good to me. That's what they're saying. That church is what they were saying. God's been good to everybody else, but He ain't been good to us. That's a bad attitude. Matter of fact, I want to disconnect from that type of attitude more than anything in my life.
for God has been good to me. If I walk in a funeral home next week and God's took everybody I love and I've got Brother Jake to walk in there, I'm going to leave there by the grace of God and I'll remember this. My name is written down yonder in glory land and God makes no mistakes and I've just got to trust Him through this situation. God's not fair. God's not seeing about me. But could I ask you a question? Is it vain to serve God? He said, you said some stout words against me. He took it personal. Can I tell you, we got a God that takes things personal. When we come to the church house, this is His. We want us, He wants us to honor Him and worship Him in spirit and in truth. And when we leave the doors of this sanctuary, God wants us to be thankful. There's a preaching Baptist. There's a poured blessing. There's a prominent bad mouthing. But now, the story changes. Look in verse 16. You'll notice there is a penned book. It's an interesting study. Then they that feared the Lord. Then. When? When that crowd's walking around talking about how bad God is. There's a crowd walking around telling how good God is. I wonder what crowd you're hanging out in this morning. I wonder what your mindset is. Has God been good to you? Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And look, and the Lord hearkened and heard. And a book, look what it says. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon His name. Can I tell you, God's a listening this morning. And it does His heart good when we get together and we talk about how good He's been to us. You remember the day the Lord saved you? You remember when your loved one wasn't going to make it through the night, but they made it through the night by God's grace? Do you remember when your loved one didn't make it through the night and you prayed that they would, but yet you found out that God knows everything and God makes no mistake and God is ever faithful and God will always love His children? They got together and they got talking about how good God had been to them. And the Lord brought a book out. Now, the best I can see, there are three main books that God's been interested in. It's His book in which we find out about His Son. There is the Book of Life and the Lamb's Book where our names are written. And then here's this Book of Remembrance. I wonder what has God wrote anything in that book about you lately? Book of Remembrance was written before Him, for them. It wasn't written for Him. It was written for them. Sounds like, last I read down there in Revelation 19 and 20, and the books were opened, and then the book was opened. Can I tell you, God's a writing down what we say in this moment. Boy, we ought to be encouraging young people to go for God. We ought to be encouraging all of our leadership and teachers and singers. These young people. Remember when I was talking, coming to church this morning. We have five little newborns fixing to come to this sanctuary within the next couple of months. That's five new babies. Thank God for babies. I've been at places and a baby would go to crying and everybody gets so nervous. Well, Lord, if I couldn't preach over a baby, I'd get out of the preaching business. I'm glad we've got babies. And mom and daddy, the devil will discourage you for bringing them to the house of God, saying, well, your baby's too loud. We've got nurseries. Go out and see about your young ones. Get them settled down and bring them back in on the singing and preaching. Amen. We're glad you're here. Shake your little Baptist head up and down this morning. And so then they that feared the Lord spake often one another. You know why that we need to get together. You know, the devil wants you to get all by yourself. And then he'll get to telling you how pitiful you got it. And he'll get you so discouraged. I tell you, I woke up this morning, woke up early and got my study. And I'll be telling you, I just felt so discouraged, you know. And I turned on my computer and got to playing some good music. And the Holy Ghost got to stirring. I got my altar and went to praying. Then I found out that I wasn't alone. But look what the Bible says. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. The Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance is written before Him for them. But when we get together, we'll not talk about the ball game so much and the weather and hunting seasons and all the deals at the shopping malls. Sometimes we all just scoot aside and say, hey, God's been good to me. God's been good to you. You that's been here a while, there's no doubt in your mind, do I love my grandchildren? What kind of man would it be that didn't love his grandchildren? What kind of weirdo would that be? He's a moron. God's been good to me. Look at the people God's put here. It takes me to my next point. You see, is it vain to serve God? What about the preaching Baptists? We see a poured blessing. We see a prominent bad mouthing. We see a pen in the book. But in verse 17, we see a precious bunch. The Lord said, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. In that day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. I want to say we're precious in the eyes of God. Jewels are just not stones, but oh, they're worth a great price this morning. Can I tell you, child of God, the Lord thinks much of you that are saved by His grace. These precious jewels, their origin. You know, all jewels were dug up or dug out. You ought to thank God that He reached down and got you out of this old sin-sick world. And you know, there's a refining process. There's a cutting and there's a polishing. And you're wondering, well, preacher, why is God allowing this to happen in my life? I've noticed once God digs us up and there's a refining process going on. He starts chopping and moving. He starts polishing. He starts sanding. You know why? He's making something out of us. Oh, there is a precious bunch. Their origin, their refining process. What about this? Their variety, different types of jewels. Nothing shows diversity more than jewels. There's some of you don't never shout, but you'll cry. There's some of you don't say much, and there's some of you won't never shut up. There's great diversity in the family of God. God's not looking for robots. God's looking for children to be who He called them to be, to love Him and exalt Him every chance that they get. Precious jewels sitting around this building. They mean something to God. And I'm going to tell you, they mean something to me. These little kids come, do they're giving this bucket. Grandmas and grandpas sitting here. Young people sitting here. They mean something to God. They mean something to me, and it ought to mean something to you, for we're precious in the eyes of God. Their variety, then their brilliancy. You know, Jesus said, let your light shine before men. Oh my goodness, jewels shine like nothing else. Their value, their prized possession. You know, every king had jewels. Can I tell you, King Jesus has jewels this morning? They're valuable. And I tell you something else about these jewels. They're safely kept. I'm glad He said, no man shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. Aren't you glad God's got you and you got God this morning? You know something? Your most prized possession of jewelry, I'll venture to say, for you left for church this morning, you just didn't leave it out on the counter. You didn't leave it out on the front porch. You didn't leave it out on the fender of the tractor. You put it up. You've got it safe. And can I tell you, I've never been as safe as I am this morning. I'm glad the grace of God is keeping me in this day and in this hour. And there's something else, lastly, about these jewels, and I'm going to get on preaching, I'll be done. Not only their safe keeping, their value, but one day they will be displayed. The Bible says, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. And you know, we're going to know each other there. A lot of people say, Brother Ken, in heaven, will I know you? Well, sure you'll know me. Ain't nobody going to be confused about who Jesus is. Because He's going to be the main attraction, friend. But there's one day when Jesus is going to display all of His jewels. And you that the devil told you for years you were worth nothing, you're going to find out you were a prized possession in the hand of God. And He thought a lot of you. I tell you how much He thought of you. He sent His Son to die for you. Oh my. Is it vain to serve God? Good question this day and hour, isn't it? Is it vain to serve God? I want to say as your preacher this morning closing, no, it's not. I love preaching this message. The precious bunch. Okay, chapter 4, verse 1. I'm closing. Look at this proclaimed burning. You've heard from a child the world was going to burn up. Where is it at in the Bible? Well, it's in Peter and it's here in Malachi. Remember, the Lord said, I'm the Lord and I change not. He said, now, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. And all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. God's going to burn this world up. Now, according to Revelation chapter number 3, that great homecoming day, that great rapture of the church, we're in the Laodicean church age. No doubt in my mind, the Lord's going to call us out of this old world. There's going to be 7 years of tribulation come on this world like people has never seen. But we that are saved right now, we're going to be at home with the Lord. After that great tribulation period, there's going to be a battle. It's going to run, the Bible said, as deep as the bridle's bits. That great battle of Armageddon. And Jesus is going to destroy this world with fire. Don't drive down your tent stakes too deep, friend. You remember this, the only thing you send ahead will be there. It's all going to burn up. All of the wickedness, and it looks like that it's vain to serve God. You wait till the smoke clears. And you're going to see it wasn't vain to serve God. Amen. Lastly, there's a proclaimed burning. But in verse 2, there's a promised benefit. But unto you. That changes things. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Let me share you come if you would, sister. I sure am glad this morning that there is a promised benefit. but unto you. Who's he talking about? Those that know God by his Son. We're going to escape the burning. You know, fire is a bad thing. I'm glad that I'm in safekeeping this morning, that I've trusted the Lord Jesus. Have you? Mom and Daddy, what kind of preacher would we be here if we didn't tell your children there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun? Jesus died that we could go to heaven. I want to ask you something, Mom and Daddy. Are you going to heaven? Do you know that your name is written down in the book of life? Weary soldier, God is writing down in the book of remembrance the things that we are saying for our benefit. And I want to say to Him in front of y'all this morning, Lord, thank you for how good you've been to me. Now I want to ask you, as Miss Sherry plays, have you got anything to thank Him for? Our church seems that it's taken a turn the last 2 or 3 weeks, and I'm glad to see that it's turned to a positive. It looks like we've sort of been in a stoop, in a slump. But it's up to you what kind of church you want. And if you want to sit there pious and not thankful, you can sit there. Or you can become thankful. And Sunday after Sunday, there ought to be many of us bound an altar and say, God, thank you. God saved the folks that's not saved. We had one saved this week. I thank the Lord for it. There'll be many others that'll be saved. Are you willing to do your part? Has God done anything to you? Could I say this to you as your preacher? Is it vain to serve God? No, it's not. Why don't you come thank Him this morning for something? As Miss Sherry plays,